I love the presence of God. Don't you just love the Lord? Okay, so I like to tell jokes. And sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. We'll see. So there's two kids, and they went into their parents' bathroom and noticed the weigh scale in the corner. And one youngster said, "Whatever you do, don't get on that scale." And the other one said, "Why?" And she said, "Because every time Mom does, she lets out an awful scream." You see, if I get partial laughs like that, I keep going. So one lady said, "I'm not afraid of heights, I'm afraid of widths." Another lady said, "I'm in shape, round is a shape." Recently, a lady, she goes to her doctor for her annual physical. The nurse asked her how much she weighed. She said, "I weigh 135 pounds. Then she weighed her on the scale, and it said 160 pounds. She asked her how tall she was. She said, "I'm 5 feet 5 inches. She measured her, and she said, "You're only 5 feet 3 inches. She took her blood pressure and told her it was high. She said, "Well, of course it's high. I came in here, I was tall and slender. Now I found out I'm short and fat." So I want to give away my God Hunger book. I used to battle anorexia, bulimia, compulsive eating, and God set me free. But it's not about weight, it's how you see yourself. And God wants you full of joy. And Nicole, they are crying out for that book. Okay, I got one last giveaway item. I have some jokes for it. I just finished a conference. Cheryl Salem was with me, Dr. Colbert, and your pastor, Deborah, said, I need the copy of that CD. It's called Happy Hormones versus Raging Hormones for people with PMS. What is PMS? Pass my shotgun. Psychotic mood shift. PMS, puffy midsection. PMS, people make me sick. PMS, potential murder suspect. Now, I would love to give this to you, but Pastor Deborah has requested it, so we are giving it to her. So we'll make sure your mom gets the copy. She has asked for that. And I do just want to take a moment out and just say, I love your pastors. Your pastors are anointed. They are called. They are friends of ours. We go out and we hang out and we laugh. Your mom has encouraged me to say stuff from the pulpit that I would never say. And we've told them stories about ourselves where we're all crying and laughing. They're like, "You got to preach it. You got to preach it." I'm like, "Really? We can say that in church?" But I'm telling you, there's not a religious spirit on them. They are so set free. But they're real. What they've done here in the vision, they're such encouragers, and they've really encouraged us as pastors and as a church to really believe God. We're in a stage right now where we're leasing, but we're believing God to buy a building, and pastors Jim and Cobray have been instrumental in our lives, as they are in so many pastors. I had the honor and privilege to be here at their first pastors' conference, which was amazing. I would have been here again, but I was booked at a conference in Hawaii, and I'm telling you, if it was Louisiana or any place else, I would have been here, but Hawaii, you know, it was, that's the only reason I wasn't here, but I still love them. I got one more thing I want to give out, and God had me preach a message about living holy in an unholy world, and God wants you pure. We're led by the Holy Spirit, so there's ladies raising their hands. And I'm just blessed to have Nicole Gladys with me, our worship pastor, Pastor Deborah and Samantha. We got some staffers here. But I am a pastor of Innis Presence Church with my husband. We love pastoring. We love people. We celebrate you. We honor you. Greetings from Innis Presence Church. But I have a message to preach, and I'm going to stay on time. I'm preaching a different message tonight for those of you that are coming back. I am going to use the same jokes, but everything else it's different. I'm preaching from my book. I only have a time. I wrote a book. The reason we write books is we get like 30 to 40 minutes to preach, and we can give X amount. And when I was ministering on eating disorders, I remember one time being in Montana and then Washington and having 16-year-old girls that are anorexic crying their eyes out and just saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I feel so bad because I thought I only gave them a piece of the puzzle. And there's just so much that God has poured out, so many revelations. So anytime I preach, I get to preach like half a chapter of a book. But writing books, we get to get it all out there. So we're really depositing into you. And the new book that I'm teaching out of is really the testimony that most people like to hear. I used to be a stunt woman in Hollywood. My dad was the stuntman for Batman in the original Batman series. Pow, wow, anybody old enough to remember those? With Adam West, he was a stunt coordinator. My mom was a publicity writer for MGM Studios. Elizabeth Taylor was my brother's godmother. So, you know, I grew up in this Hollywood world, and I did my first commercial when I was 16 years old, and ended up making so much money that when I was off in college, I'm like, what am I doing? You know, my whole family's in the business. I could make so much more money. And so during summer breaks, I would work extra as a background person. And I remember one time seeing a girl get pushed into a pool, and she was a stunt woman, and I was making $60 for the day, and she was making $600. So I thought, push me in the pool. I can swim, you know? So I told my dad I want to be a stunt woman. And at this time, it was after my second year of college. I was in Illinois. It was really cold there. And I just ate and ate and ate. And I became so fat. I went from like being really tiny, weighing 116 pounds, to being close to 160 pounds. And my dad kind of laughed. You know, he said, Desiree, who are you going to double? You know, there's no actresses your size. And that's when I became obsessed about losing weight, and became anorexic and was so thin that I could double, and I was land of the part doubling Catherine Bach on Dukes of Hazzard, Heather Thomas on Fall Guy, was working all the time, working films. And I was only, you know, in my young 20s, so I looked very, very healthy on the outside, but was dying on the inside. But praise God, and when I went to acting class, I saw this guy that looked like Mel Gibson, Russell Crowe, you know. He was curly blonde hair, you know, these big arms. I'm like, oh, there's something about this guy. He had the Holy Ghost on him, but I didn't know what the Holy Ghost was. And he carried this Bible, and I was like, who is this guy? And so I just, like, wanted to marry him. You know, I just have dreams about him. I thought, I got to get this guy. And so I'd put on my leopard skins, really high cut, low cut. And I'm kind of doing this number with him. And he's like running the other way. I'm like, what is wrong with him? And so I'd found out he'd been a Christian on fire, carried his Bible everywhere, and been celibate 2 years. And that was not my lifestyle at the time. I was in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And my cousin becomes born again and says, Desiree, you know, I want you to go to church with me. As soon as he said church, my husband's name is Mel, so it's kind of like Mel Gibson. So I thought of Mel, and I said, what kind of a church? He said, Christian. I thought of Mel. And now I kind of was stalking Mel a bit, so I knew where he lived, where all of that. And so I said, well, where is this church located? And I thought, if he says the city he lives in, Westwood, I'm going. He said, Westwood. And I said, oh, I am so there. I cannot wait to go to church. So, in hopes to see him. So, it's my first time in a spirit-filled church in Westwood. And, I mean, I, like, was blown away because I had jumped with Hare Krishnas. I was New Age. My best friend was Mormon. I danced at Jewish temples. I was really searching for God, but in all the wrong places. You know, I'd done the Catholic, you know, stuff. I did everything. And so now I'm in a Holy Ghost church where the power of God is. And I'm crying, and I don't know why I'm crying. People have their hands lifted up in the air, and I'm like, why are their hands in the air? And then I see Mel, he's on the front row with both his hands up in the air. I'm like looking at him going, I think I've fallen in love with a monk. That's what I thought, because his hands were in the air. And so I'm not going to go into that testimony. That's in chapter one of my book. But within 6 weeks, I got saved. Our second date was at Crenshaw Christian Church, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and married. Now, we do not recommend this for anybody. We recommend that you date for 1 year. You go through your, you know, premarital counseling at your church. You get wise counsel, because I had these high heels shoes that I would try to, first year, I try to hit them in the head while cussing. And, you know, there were just things we could have worked through, you know, growing. But it was a wild first year, but we became so on fire for God. And we were running with God with all of our hearts. And we became involved in a local church called The Hiding Place that doesn't exist anymore because of sexual morality. That's right. I wrote the pure book. We don't want to see people get wiped out because they're not living pure and holy. When God tells you to do something, it's to bless you. So we became Sunday school teachers. We loved what we did. We were going to Bible studies at Crenshaw Christian Church. We were going to Copeland conventions. We got grounded in the Word. We knew God was a good God and He was a healing God. But then something started to happen on the inside, which I believe is happening to a lot of people today in this room, and that is God started to call me to a higher level. He started to say, I have more for you. And I'm like, well, no, I'm a successful stunt woman. I'm making over $2,000 a day. I can make $30,000 a day on a national commercial. I am happy, God. We're doing good. I am getting people saved. But all of a sudden, I was feeling like God didn't want me to take jobs. He wanted me, like when Lester Summerall and Norville Hayes were at our local church, he wanted me to be there and say no to jobs. And I'm like, what? You want me at church and to obey you and not go make a ton of money? You got to be kidding me, God. And so I would just say, forget this. I'm going this direction. You know, God, I'm going here. Bless me. Bless me in what I wanted to. But God was saying, no, I got things in your local church I want to deposit. Make it a priority. Run with me. And so I started to have this tug of war going on where I was just simply disobeying the Holy Spirit. And one day I was working on a show called, I don't even need to say what it's called, but I was working on a show. And, you know, people were doing cocaine, filthy language, and I was really grieved. And then I got a call to work on another show with a Christian stunt coordinator, and I was being chased by a mechanical alligator that couldn't really hurt me. I'm like, God, this is great. This is the kind of jobs I like. But then I got called back to this other job that I'd been on all week, the dark atmosphere for one more day. And I kind of felt that check thing again. Like, don't take it, you know. Just the Holy Ghost. He leads us. He guides us. But, you know, I'd gotten away with grieving the Holy Spirit before. And everything had been fine. I mean, I've grieved Him. And I disobeyed Him. And I'm still blessed and making a lot of money. So, you know, big deal if I just go ahead and disobey Him one more time to get another $500 in my pocket, minimum. So I went ahead and went to work, and all day long I'm feeling this grieving, so I'm calling my Christian friends saying, pray for me today. Pray for me while I'm disobeying God. Something's wrong. I'm disobeying God. Please pray for me. But that day I was riding in a 4x4 truck. When I dove out of the vehicle, it was supposed to have been a smoke bomb. And it was not a smoke bomb. It was a 14-pound naphthalene bomb that burned my face, neck, arms, chest, and second and third degree burns. It literally took off my upper lip. I had no upper lip. And I found myself knocked out And when I came to, I knew something was wrong. I didn't know what was wrong. But I'm going to get a lot more into steps tonight on the Lord, things the Lord showed me to do immediately. But I'm going to skip over to where I'm at the Sherman Oaks Burn Center. I'm being shot full of morphine. I'm in the intensive care unit, critical condition, lungs filled with who knows what, and fighting for my life. And I had them call my husband. I said, he needs to start praying for me. And then call my dad, who had prayed for me 10 years before I became a Christian. And then he knew nothing was working, so he prayed for the perfect labor across my path, which was, of course, Mel. And, you know, when my husband got there, he took one look at me. He just broke into tears. My dad got there. He broke into tears. And I knew it was bad because of my, not because of my dad crying, because he would cry at Lassie. But when my husband saw me, he doesn't cry often. But, you know, he's so tender. He's just strong. He's so strong in Christ. And when he broke into tears, I'm like, okay, we got a fight here. I know there is a fight for my life. But God, in his infinite mercy, I just want to share just one key from 1 chapter 3 that so helped me through this process, and that is crying out to God. Can you just say that? Cry out to God. This is what I did in my crisis situation. This is what I do whenever I'm in trouble. So I don't know what kind of a crisis you're in. I don't know what you're going through. But I do know you can cry out to God and he will come and help you. Psalms 50 verse 15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble. Anybody in trouble? He says, I will deliver you and you will glorify me. Isn't that great news? That is a good word for you today. You can call upon him when you're in trouble. He will deliver you. On top of delivering you, then you're going to glorify him. And he's going to get all the glory. What a wonderful promise that is. Isaiah 58:9 says, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. God's saying, I'm right here. I have not left you. I have not forsaken you. He's right there in the midst. When I was in that burn unit, he was there with me. Whatever you're going through, he's going to get you to the other side. You're not alone. You're not doing this by yourself. You could have had a husband leave you or cheat on you. You could have had a best friend betray you. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never let you down. He says, I'll never relax my hold on you. Oh, that's good news. Psalm 62, verse 8 in the Amplified says, trust in, lean on, rely on, have confidence in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us, a fortress, a high tower. Oh, isn't that good news? Salah, pause and think of that. I love this story about this guy, Mark Ashton Smith. He's kayaking in southern England. He's 33 years old, a lecturer at Cambridge University, and he capsized in treacherous water. He's hanging on to his craft. He reaches for his cell phone, and Ashton Smith's first inclination was to call his father. It didn't matter to the desperate son that his dad, Alan Pym Smith, was working, training British troops in Dubai, 3,500 miles away. Without delay, the father relayed his son's mayday to the Coast Guard's installations nearest to his son's location. Ironically, it's less than 1 mile away. Within 12 minutes, a helicopter rescued the grateful Ashton Smith. How much more will your heavenly father come to your rescue when you call out to your dad? He's your Abba Father, your daddy. Psalms 107:28. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. Now, I like this one because sometimes, you know, women, we can get a little stressed out, a little distressed. And God, you can cry out to him and he'll get you out of that stressful situation. So be of good courage today. God is near, and I believe he's going to move in a miraculous way. Some of you, you need miracles. And God's going to do a miracle for you. You just got to believe and receive. Believe and receive. That's one of the very specific words that happened. I remember a little old man, a friend of my dad's, a full gospel businessman, coming into my hospital room. And he said, Desiree, just open your heart and receive. Just receive. And I could literally feel my heart open and Jesus come in and touch it. And just receive, just receiving healing. I walked out of that Sherman Oaks Burn Center 10 days later with Dr. Grossman, a Jewish doctor, saying, Desiree, it is your faith in God that has healed you. God is a good God. He is a healing God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And testimonies are to encourage. He healed me. Now he uses me to lay hands on people and pray for them or just speak a word and see miracles, signs, and wonders. That day on the helicopter ride to the Sherman Oaks Burn Center, I had my heart to heart with God. And this is what my heart to heart entailed. It was selling out 100%. It was no longer, okay, God, here's my game plan, and I'm going to disobey you when I feel like disobeying you because I want to do something, but come and bless me anyway. No, I learned that God really didn't want that day to happen. He tried to protect me. He tried to keep that from happening to me. But for those of us that have disobeyed God and we've gotten ourselves in a jam that he wanted to protect us from, I got good news for you. And that is the scripture, all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purposes. The moment you put your attention on Jesus and you cry out to him, he'll take that situation and he'll turn it around for his glory. That day should have killed me. I disobeyed God, but the moment I cried out to him, he's used it to catapult me into a ministry to be able to travel all over the world to see miracle signs and wonders happen, to lay hands on people and see tumors dissolve. I mean, praise God, our church, and I know at your church we were praying for Cheryl Salem's daughter-in-law to be Stephanie, and she's recovering. They got the tumor out. They're believing it's not cancerous. The doctors don't believe it. She's in full recovery right now. She's going to be standing at that wedding. But God has literally used me at that point. I just said, God, I will never do another stunt again. This was my helicopter ride. It's like, I got it. I just saw my whole life. I thought, what amount of money would a woman pay to have her face burned off? I don't think there's any amount of money. I don't think $1 billion, $1 trillion. You're so valuable. You are valuable to God. And sometimes we're doing compromises because of money or because of things that we think are so important. There is nothing more important than obeying God. And every time you obey him, every step, he has a blessing for you. When he tells you to tithe, he doesn't need your money. He's trying to bless you. I mean, it just breaks my heart that people don't get it. That, you know, it's the tithe and the offering. Give generously, you get generously. People are so selfish and stingy. And Christians, you know, what is it? 10, 20% of the church are obedient to tithe and give offerings? That means only 20% can really ever step into the fullness of funding the gospel, of building the kingdom. Earth is short. We get a little bit of time here. And then all our rewards are in heaven. And being a part of this house, I mean, San Bernardino, this rundown area, you know, so much crime takes place, and there's this beautiful oasis here. When you serve at the house of God, it's not just Pastor Jim and Deborah that are getting credit for all the souls. It's every single person that's helping and greeting and meeting. You're part of a great work here. Sell out. My big concern when I was in the hospital was, honey, who's going to cover me for teaching the children's ministry? I don't want those kids not to have anybody. Please, please get somebody for me. And I think, how could people be so careless? These kids were counting on me. But I was making sure I got myself covered, even though I'm being shot full of morphine and lost my, you know, face burned off. But people, where's our word? Where's our integrity? You know, we want to be obedient to God and help build the house of God. It's when you're giving that you're truly living life. It's when you're serving that you're truly living life. It's when you're just, you're the most like God when you give. Praise God. I'm just kind of going wherever I feel like the Holy Ghost wants me. But this is a good scripture because it's just Hebrews 11:6 says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So my third PowerPoint or second, I'm kind of all over on my notes, but that's okay. Is daily practice the presence of God. Daily. I mean, just Matthew 6:33 is a scripture I live by. Seek him first. You know, I was reading the word daily anyway, but after that day, I read the word differently. I read it from the standpoint of God, teach me. I want to understand your word, because the Bible is his word. That's him talking to us. I want to know how to live life without being burned. I don't want to go through a trial like this again. I want to obey you. So teach me, because the Bible says my children are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Therefore, if you don't know something and you're in an area of sin that you don't even know sin, you could be wiped out and destroyed. And I thought, I don't want to learn lessons the hard way. I mean, I learned a lot in that 10 days. I got more revelations I could just teach on what I learned in those 10 days the rest of my life. But I thought, I don't want to learn that way. I want to learn the easy way by sitting at your feet, hearing your word, understanding it, comprehending it, and doing what you say. And so I would spend, I didn't need to work because I had so much money coming in from residuals. And I told God, I'll never do another stunt again. I'll do whatever you want. And what I did was I read the word all day. I prayed all day. And I went into hospitals. And the first one of the first people I remember praying for with my husband was a lady named Bessie, who was covered head to toe with tumors. And we laid hands on her. She was supposed to go into surgery the next day. She got completely healed that day. God healed every one of her tumors, dissipated. We've literally laid hands where tumors are popping out of people's bodies and just seen them dissolve right in our hands. We've seen, my husband just did a crusade in the Philippines a few years ago where 7 sets of blind eyes open. And so I wanted to go to see all the blind eyes open. But before I even got to the healing, we were expecting, you know, I had 7 pastors in this crusade put together, and we're expecting 100 salvations, and over 2,000 people came to the altar to get saved. I mean, I just never saw anything like that in my life. And we did get to see a set of blind eyes open, but God was just showing me, I mean, miracles are great, but there's nothing as important as knowing Christ and knowing that when you take your last breath here on earth, that you wake up in heaven. That is the most important thing. Okay, my time is done at what time? It says 10:23. What time am I supposed to finish? I didn't look at... Oh, I have point. What's like... Is it like 10:30? Oh... Praise the Lord. Glory. You know, preachers, we could preach forever. We just have to stop at a certain point. So I will get a couple more points out. But I want to get this point out to you. And that is, remember, trials don't last forever. And this is an important point for you to catch, because sometimes we're in a trial and there's so much pain and there's so much heartache. And as women, we're emotional and we feel things and we can feel it deeply. And so when we're hurting emotionally or in pain, we feel like it's going to last forever. And the devil will tell you, you're always going to feel this way. Life's not worth living if it has to be this painful. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell. If you're in pain right now, it's not always going to be this painful. And some of you are in physical pain. You're going to get healed today. Before you walk out of this building, that pain's going to be gone. Some of you, it's emotional heart pain. Other, it's tormenting mental pain. But you're going to walk out of this building today set free by the power of Jesus Christ. But I want you to get this in the Word. It's Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 6 says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have grieved by various trials. It's just a little while. You know, you're going to be grieved by trials in life. Oh, well, count it all joy. Count it all joy, knowing that all things work together for good for those that love God. And then it goes on to say in 1 Peter 1, 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Trials purify you. Don't faint in the day of adversity. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Just decide. The same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is alive inside of you. And you can draw on his strength by the Holy Ghost. So don't faint in the day of adversity or you're considered weak. You're not a weak people. You have Jesus. You're taught the word. I know you have great teaching here. You have it inside of you. So don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let him tell you you're weak. Oh, I can't handle it. Oh, this is just too much. No, devil, you get the hell out of my life. You take all your cohorts with you. You get your hands off my marriage, off my kids. They will live and proclaim the works of God. You declare. You use your authority. You're a powerhouse for the kingdom of God. Rise up, woman of God. Take your place on the front lines. Some of you are on the back lines, and it's time to move forward to the front lines of ministry. I'm telling you, that's where all the fun is. I'm going to skip that point. I want to go right to this last point here because I want to pray. God wants to move, but this is key. There's a couple things that I really believe are holding back the people of God, the body of Christ, from receiving their miracles. And so before I pray, I want you to get that you got to get rid of this stuff. Fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. Say it 1,000 times a day if that's what you need to do to get rid of fear. But don't allow it near you. Be anxious for nothing, but through everything by prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known to God. Talk to him. Tell him what you want. That's faith. God, this is a situation, but this is what I want you to do. He's trying to get you from the natural to the supernatural, but he needs to hear from you what you want him to do. So you need to tell him what you want. So, fear is one, stress, Stress is coming on the body of Christ because of fear. Even doctors will say, you know, your medical condition, this is happening because of stress. You got to choose. You're going to be stress-free. You just got to decide you're going to have peace in the midst of the storm. You can't think, okay, once I get this storm calmed, then I can have peace. It doesn't work that way. Because if that's the way it's going to operate, the devil will, you know, I mean, he comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. But he has no power over you. Jesus came that you can have life and have it more abundantly. And you're going to have to take your authority and say, you know what? I'm not going to stress out. I'm just not going to do it. I refuse to worry. This is what I declare. This is what I'm believing God for. This is what I'm speaking. And if you got to speak the word, you know, over and over, in both my books, I have I am lists, scripture after scripture. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. But where you're just declaring the word of God, you have to do it. Because you may not have anybody, you know, you can't bring Pastor Deborah home with you to, you know, tell you nonstop, you know, you're more than a conqueror. You have to encourage yourself. There's just those times where there is nobody to encourage you. You're it. You're it. And you're going to believe yourself more than anybody else. And then the last point I want to make here before we can really get into getting you healed today is you got to forgive. You got to. I'm telling you, people are just jerks. Some people. I mean, some people you're just like, are you a person or are you a demon? You know? I mean, what are you? Are, you know, when God wants to bless you, he sends people. When the devil wants to destroy you, he sends people. You know, and as a body of Christ, we got to have wisdom on who we hang with, who we let into our inner circle. Hello? You know, they're not going to be perfect people, but, you know, you don't let an abuser into your inner circle. You got to have some discernment. If that person continues to, like, speak negativity, cut them out. So what if you don't have any friends? You have Jesus. You know, the reality is, to get higher level friends, which probably every one of us needs to get higher level friends, it takes a time of just being with Jesus, being with Jesus, being with Jesus, letting him change you, mold you, transform you, where the glory of God is on you, where you can attract a higher level of people. Because light attracts light. But some of you, it's okay that you don't have any friends, because you need Jesus to be your best friend. But you got to forgive. You may have already cut people out of your life and you're not hanging with them, but you got to get to that place where if their name's brought up, it's not like, and you know, just quickly out of Luke 6:27-28, you know, and I could teach a whole message on this, but I won't. But it's really, how do you handle offense? How do you deal with it? And the Lord tells us, there's so many scriptures, but this one in particular I like, because it tells us to do three things. Pray, bless, and do good. Pray, bless, and do good. When you pray for the person, you're going to have compassion. Bless is what you say with your mouth. You know, I don't know about you, but I find myself, you know, if I've really been burned by somebody and they're just, you know, really been a... I don't know, whatever word we want to use. We won't use any. Imaginary, whatever. And if I talk about this person, I do myself harm. Because all of a sudden I'm grieved. And I don't feel that great. And I'm not full of the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. And so you have to train yourself. You have to retrain to find one good thing. One good thing that you can say about this person. And that's what comes out of your mouth. So you can bless. So you can be obedient to the word of God. Because again, you have to do this for yourself. It's not for them. They're a jerk, remember? It has nothing to do with that. This has to do with you being set free and not carrying a bunch of jerky people around with you. You got to cut it. You got to forgive. Again, God's telling you to do this to bless you. So you pray, bless, do good. Pray, bless, do good. That's it. And I'm telling you, not only will this hit with jerky people, this will hit with God, divine covenant people. And you have to discern the difference. Because God, divine covenant people are not perfect. They have flesh. And they're going to operate in the flesh. And they can offend you. And you have to forgive no matter what. But you got to discern when the devil's trying to come in and rob you from a covenant relationship. And that comes by a personal, intimate relationship with Christ. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and I just want to pray. If we have a keyboard player that flows in the Spirit, great. If not, that's okay too. Do we have somebody here? Because I have Pastor Deborah here that could jump up here. You have someone? Okay, Pastor Deborah, can you just play on the keyboards here while I'm praying? Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the power of prayer. I thank you for the power of praying, women. I thank you that this is a holy house. This is a holy place. Even that snake trying to come in and urinate. Ha, ha, ha. What a joke. What a joke. That's just a sign. You know, when attacks come, that just lets you know the outpouring of the Holy Ghost is going to be great. The devil trying to come in here and pee. No way. God's going to have his way. God's going to have his way today. And miracles are going to take place during this time. If you're here and you're battling offense, I want you just to stand where you're at to your feet. And I want to pray for you. And God's just going to set you free. A lot of the ones that are standing, you also need your physical healing. It's going to happen at the same time. But Father, you see the women that are standing. And Father, some of these women have been betrayed. They've been hurt. And Father, you're a good God and you're a healing God. And Father, I pray right now, first of all, that you heal the wounds and the scars that are on them. That you touch their hearts. And you heal their hearts, Father. That you're doing a work right now from the inside out. I thank you, Lord, that you're such a loving God. And I want to encourage each and every person that's standing right now. God's forgiven you of everything you've done. Think of your flaws. Think of your mistakes. He's forgiven you. You can do this. So right now, just say, Father God, forgive me for holding on to offense. You've forgiven me. And just as you've forgiven me, I'm going to forgive those that hurt me. Father, I pray blessings for them. I want to hear you say this. Father God, bless them. Use my words to be words of life towards them. I thank you, Father, that I'm a blessing to anyone that's hurt me. Father God, I am set free. I receive healing. Help me, Lord. By faith, I'm going to do this. If I don't feel it in my heart right now, I'm just going to do it anyway. By faith, knowing if I say it, I have the power of your words backing me up. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. I'm going to continue to pray. Okay. Anxiety, fear, and stress. We're going to deal with that. These are just the issues before we get into healing. Anxiety, fear, and stress. Stand to your feet. We're going to just pray over that right now. Anxiety, fear, or stress. See, if God can heal you of these things, your physical healings are just going to happen. Thank you, Father. Father, you see your ladies, Lord. You see your precious daughters, you're precious in the sight of God. I'm just going to have you just declare truth over yourself. So I want you to say this with me. Father God, I love you. I thank you that you have not given me a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. Father, I choose to be anxious for nothing, but by everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, I let my requests be known to you. Thank you, Father, that you meet every financial need that I have according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe with all my heart that God's getting ready to just supernaturally meet some of your needs. Because some of you are standing, you're stressed out over finances. And God's saying, I got it covered. I'm moving. Expect unexpected blessings to come into your life. God says, just trust me and watch what I'll do on your behalf. Just watch what I'll do on your behalf. You can have a seat. I'm going to pray one more area here. Yeah, a couple more areas. God's just wanting to do a couple things. If you need... We might have got it at the last one, but I don't know. The broken heart. Are there broken-hearted people? Could you stand up? God wants to heal broken hearts. See, this is the last one before the physical healing. He really wants to touch your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you're here. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for comforting each and every woman right now. I want you to take your hand and just put it over your heart right now. Just put it over your heart. Father God, I thank you for healing the brokenhearted. Yeah, he can literally right now go in and touch your heart and heal it. He's just healing hearts right now. He moves by the Spirit of God. He's Spirit. Father, I thank you, Lord, for ministering angels right now being loose to comfort each and every woman and to surround them and to hold them and to love on them. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for healing the brokenhearted right now, comforting. God, your comfort upon them. In Jesus' name. Those that need physical healing, I want you to stand to your feet at this time. Just stand to your feet. And right before I pray, Deborah, if you could just do a piece of that song about I'll be anxious for nothing. I just really believe God's going to... is still dealing with hearts, minds, and emotions right before we pray for physical healing. And we're just going to let this music minister to you for a moment here.